Welcome to the South Carolina State Library's podcast, Library Voices SC. I'm Curtis Rogers, Communications Director, and today I'm pleased to have with us in our studio Lee Snellgrove. Lee is the Executive Director of One Columbia for Arts and History. Since taking the position, he's overseen the establishment of a process for commissioning public art and the installation of 30 new pieces, the establishment of the position of a City Poet Laureate, the development of a strategic plan for the Congaree Vista's formal cultural district designation, and has been a leader of multi-organizational citywide events, including the commemoration of the 150th anniversary of the burning of Columbia and the total solar eclipse weekend in August of 2017, which, gosh, that's already been a year.
It has.
It's flown by. He's currently overseeing the coordination of 21 new public art projects, and he still was able to find time to come talk today. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Curtis. Thanks.
So tell everybody a little bit about what is One Columbia and how did it first start and what do you do?
So One Columbia is an organization here in Columbia, South Carolina that we're a nonprofit, but we serve in the role of what often other cities have, an Office of Cultural Affairs. Our job is to amplify and promote a lot of the activities that happen in the cultural sector here in the city, mm-hmm. and help facilitate projects among organizations and artists and other types of cultural entities. So we do that through our website with a calendar of events. We do some promotion through social media, and we send out weekly emails about what's going on in the city and around the city. Mm-hmm. And then we... Since we're kind of a central organization and a liaison between, say, the arts organizations and the city government, we do some advocacy on behalf of them in the way of listening to what they need and trying to help connect with dots with resources. And we do other things that help promote the city and the Midlands area as a hub for arts and culture through creation of public art, working on those multi-organizational events,
things
like the creation of the Poet Laureate. And we're also working on a big cultural plan.
And how did it start? Is this something you just dreamed up, or did someone ask you to take this on?
So I wasn't around for the very beginning. I was just hired as their director in July 2013. But before that, what had happened was that the mayor, Mayor Benjamin, our current city mayor, once he had been elected, and he was planning his transition, he had a big transition team called One Columbia. Mm. And it covered things like arts and history, but also environmental sustainability, maybe some transportation, some other key elements of city life as part of that. And he had advisors for each of those kind of topic areas. When he took office, the arts and history transition team had advised to create an Office of Cultural Affairs. The city should create essentially a department, mm-hmm. for that. Mm-hmm. And he tried to get it passed by council, but for whatever reason, political or financial or any other kind of possible reason, council didn't pass it at the time. That team decided to kind of branch off on their own. They figured the needs were so high in terms of at least communicating what was happening in the arts community, mm-hmm. That they decided to create a nonprofit organization, and they kind of built from there. Got a little bit of a philanthropic contribution from Blue Cross Blue Shield. That kind of led into them forming the board, creating the organization. And they started off on a few things, like they did a celebration of April, which is a really busy time for the arts, mm-hmm. community in Columbia, called One Month. And then they started to set up the website and the calendar of events. From there, they worked out, they negotiated a deal with city council, and they were able to get it funded by the city through hospitality tax, mm-hmm. Which supports a lot of arts and culture in the city. And by doing so, then they were able to set up an office and hire a staff member, an executive director, to run the organization. Mm-hmm. From there, we kind of evaluated. Once we got started, we evaluated what are the key things we want to accomplish? And we really honed in on our mission statement to advise, advocate, and amplify the arts and culture here in Columbia, especially. And we also connect to tourism and trying to showcase Columbia as this hub for people to come here, a good reason for people to come here. Mm-hmm. So as we kind of honed that, we certainly found much more specific things to focus on, like public art and trying to build audiences and really being a hub of information and even providing some small-scale resources like office space to meet and some easels or a projector that people can use, shared resources. So I think things really took off at that point when you have a staff member that can really focus their time on things and you kind of hone in on mission, then that's when the thing can really take off. And since then, we, you know, that's been about 5 years, just over 5 years.
And you guys do a huge amount, and you also have a very huge staff, don't you?
there are generally two of us. We are in the middle of kind of a transition between office managers. So we've just had an open call for that, and we're going through applications now. But generally, we've been able to keep a staff of two, an executive director and an office manager. The office manager does a lot of the calendar and social media stuff and kind of keeps up with the things that I can't always keep up with when I got to think bigger picture sometimes.
You know, and it really is amazing when you have such a small staff, but, you know, you go to your website and you see there's so much going on, and it looks like there's so much work that goes into it. And there's a lot of work that does go into it.
There is a lot of work. Luckily, you know, what we've done as an organization, I think the way we accomplish as much as we do is through so many partners. You know, really finding ways that we can be a partner to other people and maybe enhance whatever project they're doing or add an element of something that we might be doing to what they're doing, be it, you know, connecting around public art so that an entity like, say, the Congaree Vista Guild, if they want to do public art, how can we help them? And that way we both get that shared success at the end of the day.
You also mentioned the calendar of events. How is that mostly, or is it only arts events or cultural events, or is there a broad range of things, and how does one, you know, submit information?
It is mostly cultural events. I take a pretty broad look at what culture is, so it could be any kind of activity that might have music or any, you know, literature or any kind of bent to it that would be cultural. So I take try to take a really broad look at that, what culture could be. So it's got a lot of events. At any given time, there are like 150 active events on there, on that calendar. It is free to submit an event to it. You just set up an account on the website and then submit the events, and we moderate it, but and we can help tweak and make sure that it looks the best it can look. But it's better when the organizations or artists themselves submit the event. But yeah, anytime they can set up an account and do it, it's a free service that we provide. I mean, we do see ourselves as an organization as a service provider to the arts community here in Columbia.
And what's the, I know it's One Columbia, but is there a geography limit? Like if there's an event going on in West Columbia, do you promote that or do you only concentrate on Columbia?
We promote those too. Especially in Columbia, the borders are very porous. People move between these jurisdictions without much thought to the fact that they're governmental lines that they're crossing. The arts community is no different than that. That certainly, whatever happens in West Columbia certainly is part of the arts community of the Columbia area. So we don't really limit that too much. Obviously, I think I don't think we have a specific geographic designation, but we don't limit it. We include things in Blythewood. We include things in. I think we've had listings for things as far as Sumter before. Just if it feels like it's a relevant event to our arts community, particularly if, say, there's a Columbia artist that might be doing something in Sumter, we would share that. We do want it to be regional. We don't want it to be too far. Our purpose is to bring people here and showcase it to the Columbians and Columbia area. We're certainly open to spreading it because of just the geography of this city is such that so many people move around and might live in a different city altogether, but work in Columbia. So we don't want to limit it to that.
Yeah. So one of the main functions you talked about was supporting public art. And what's important about public art, and what constitutes public art?
So we started this because no other organization was doing formal work in public art. There were a few smaller organizations that were doing some smaller things, and there were individual artists that had been putting up public art in Columbia for a while. Mm-hmm. But the city had not really embraced it as a thing. They didn't have any policies around it. They didn't have any process for it. Mm-hmm. So the Board of One Columbia had started negotiations with the city about how to set up a formal process, and that kind of plan was outlined when I started as director. From there, we kind of developed what it is into today, and it's been since that time that we've gotten those 30 new pieces done. Mm-hmm. My view of public art is that it is essentially a physical representation of the creativity of a city. Mm-hmm. So if a visitor comes to town and they see a lot of public art, murals or sculptures or monuments or anything, they mm-hmm. realize that the city values that. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly represented to them, and they might encounter a Columbia artist through public art. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've done that 30 new pieces is a good mixture of sculptures and murals. Murals took a little bit longer for us to get things going because in those cases, most of the time it's privately owned property mm-hmm. you're putting mm-hmm. that on, and mm-hmm. it takes a little more education, I think, for property owners to understand the value. Mm-hmm. And so you get a few demonstration projects done, and next thing you know, more people are calling you saying, hey, I want a mural. How do I get that done? Mm-hmm. Sculptures, you know, if they're in the public right of way, that's what our process really outlines, the agreement we have with the city. Mm-hmm. And then we did a lot of work with the Richland Library, actually. Mm-hmm. When they were doing their renovations of their locations under the bond referendum they got passed, the board set aside 1% of the construction costs at each location mm-hmm. dedicated to art. So we helped through the process in terms of bringing a committee of stakeholders together that might be a board member, staff at that location, and users of that location. Mm-hmm. And we would meet and we kind of talk out, what does this library want? And what mm-hmm. does it see as a identifying feature of art? Mm-hmm. And what kind of thing, what does our budget allow for us to have too?
Right.
And then we would issue a request for proposals from artists that would meet those kind of criteria, mm-hmm. and we get some proposals in, and that committee would make a selection. So that piece is very contextual when mm-hmm. it's added to mm-hmm. that library. It speaks to what that library location's all about, mm-hmm. maybe what that community is all about. Mm-hmm. So a good portion of the 30 that we've done since 2013 has been in partnership with the Richland Library. Okay. And we've got more to come as they continue to open more renovated locations.
Right,
but each one has been interesting, and so, you know, at the St. Andrews location, it's like a band shell on the outside. It was important to have an external piece to kind of mm-hmm. Brighten up that corridor. Mm-hmm. And so this is a band shell where you can actually even perform, and you can connect a Bluetooth speaker. It has Bluetooth speakers built in. It was uh-huh. made by a Charleston artist. Ballantine location, mm-hmm. There's actually a yarn piece inside of it that is a tree, mm-hmm. and they used a special sort of knitting technique, crocheting, hyperbolic crocheting, where it's like this sort of spinny look, almost like a DNA kind of look.
Wow.
And they created a wisteria tree in the library.
How neat.
So they vary. I mean, they vary in both being inside or outside. Mm-hmm. In some cases, they're paintings. At the main location, we weren't really part of choosing this in our role, but mm-hmm. The library's got such a commitment to art that the carpet on that main level of the library is actually derived from a painting.
Oh, wow.
By an abstract artist who does circles. And so they took a painting and they converted it into carpet, and it's kind of all around you and ever present, which is a hallmark of public art, that you're experiencing art in your sort of daily life.
Right, right. How do you guys get recognition? Do you like have your logos everywhere on this public art, or do you, how do people know, like, you know, you're telling me all this about the different installations, but how do they know that One Columbia is responsible for getting that off?
There is some signage at each one. Usually we put up at some sort of tag, especially if it's inside. I know the library has been kind enough to put up a little descriptor, you know, mm-hmm. gallery style mm-hmm. tag beside mm-hmm. it to explain who the artist is and everything. For some of the external pieces we've done, we do have plaques beside them. Mm-hmm. Murals, not all of them have plaques beside
sure.
them, but we often have to recognize the funder since most of them are privately
right,
funded.
Right.
So we do put up a a tag that kind of gives the year and the artist and a description of the piece and recognizes the funder. And then it's always a project. I mean, because of our process, it's a project of One Columbia in mm-hmm. partnership with mm-hmm. the City of Columbia. Mm-hmm. Because the city ultimately owns and maintains the piece. We're essentially commissioning on their behalf.
Okay. And what about other locations like city parks or Main Street? Do you do anything in other areas?
Yeah, we've had a few pieces. So there are at least two sculptures on Main Street that we've done and a third to come that we're working on now. And on Main Street. And then in some parks, the Lincoln Street Tunnel, which is just between Lady Street and Fenway Park, it's a greenway. It's a formal rail tunnel. There's some murals in there and a sculpture on the Fenway Park side. That is essentially a city park. Mm-hmm. It's operated mm-hmm. by Parks and Rec. And so that has some piece in it. I'd like to see us expand out to more parks. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of opportunities with city parks in Columbia. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking with Parks and Rec about how we might help them in terms of getting more public art mm-hmm. in the parks, because they're a good opportunity for that. And you know, the program itself is still young. There's a lot more direction we can take it. And what I'd like to see us get to is that we're able to build a better sort of funding source for public art, mm-hmm. maybe a percent for art program like a lot of cities have. Mm-hmm. We're exploring that with the city right now about what might that look like mm-hmm. and how it might take place. But we're a little bit hobbled by the fact that we're reliant on almost someone to approach us and say, I want to support sure. public art. Mm-hmm. We were fortunate that the original library had that vision mm-hmm. to be able to set that aside and set that 1% aside for it. But yeah. Not everybody thinks that way when mm-hmm. they do a new development. Probably the good developers do. They're yeah. considering ways that they can enhance their space through art. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. But we definitely need a sort of better source of funding for new public art, but we also have to keep in mind how we maintain and sustain the pieces we already have in the collection.
Right. Do you think there'll be a movement towards a city department of cultural affairs? You know, being able to see what work that has been done in the last 5 years, which is, I mean, you really can tell a difference. I live and work, you know, here, and there's a huge difference because you see it in public art and other events and things like that. So do you think there would be a movement towards something more formal?
There are talks about it. I think the big question is, what does that we've been able, I think, to get a lot done as a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. I think if it would be nice, there are certainly days where it would be good for our organization to have a stronger tie to the city, mm-hmm. to be more able to speak on behalf of the city mm-hmm. than we maybe currently can. Mm-hmm. But there are also things we get done as a nonprofit that maybe a city agency couldn't do. Mm-hmm. So there's a give and take there. There are discussions about it, and certainly I think that it would be a real sign of change in Columbia mm-hmm. if the city was so supportive that it did go to those lengths to create
right,
a department. But what that department looks like in a world where One Columbia exists and is doing pretty
right.
good work
right.
is kind of something we'd want to negotiate with mm-hmm. and determine. We are working on a cultural plan right now, and it's called Amplify, the process we're going through. And mm-hmm. it's about really understanding the arts and culture community and identifying needs and areas that are doing well but maybe need extra support, and really making sure one focus area is cultural equity, the idea that everybody in a city has almost a right to arts and culture as mm-hmm. part of their daily life, mm-hmm. and finding ways that we can ingrain arts and culture through all the areas of a city. Mm-hmm. Maybe it should be considered as part of transportation mm-hmm. and solving transportation problems. How can art help solve that? Mm-hmm. How can transportation help the arts community get better and stronger? Mm-hmm. So we're doing a lot of research right now and a lot of meetings with a lot of different stakeholders, a lot of which aren't the traditional arts community stakeholders, mm-hmm. And exploring what their needs are, what they've experienced in Columbia, what is important to Colombians mm-hmm. in terms of their culture, finding out maybe what their cultural memories are, mm-hmm. Things that they remember about their own childhood and how they experience culture, and then working those into a direction and lots of recommendations for how to improve the cultural community here.
Mm-hmm.
Through that process, I do expect there will probably be some recommendations or some exploration about the future of One Columbia and the future of, you know, arts and culture for the city.
Mm-hmm.
I think there will be talk about, you know, funding sources and how the arts are being funded in mm-hmm. Columbia right now. And,
mm-hmm.
and it is a Columbia-based plan, but it is, we are talking to a lot of those jurisdictions that we already discussed that are outside of Columbia City, but are vital to the community and the mm-hmm. sort of art market, if
mm-hmm.
you will.
Mm-hmm.
This process is a 12 to 18 month process. We kicked it off this past January. And so we should finish up with a finished plan by the middle of next year. And it is in partnership with the city, very close partnership. They mm-hmm. they funded half of the plan for us to do on their behalf. And it's actually connected very closely to the city's comprehensive plan, a plan mm-hmm. they have to submit to the state every mm-hmm. 10 years. And so we're having these great discussions with the people that are working on transportation mm-hmm. or housing or focus on land use and other things. And
right.
we're finding a lot that hopefully will feed the rest of the plan, and then parts of their plans may feed parts of those segments of the comprehensive plan may feed the cultural plan.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a standalone plan, but it'll also roll right into that comprehensive plan. So mm-hmm. it's a good time for all this kind of communication and mm-hmm. network building that we're doing to really enhance how culture is perceived in
mm-hmm,
Columbia
mm-hmm.
and how it's integrated into city life. And it really showcases it as a vital part of who we are as Columbians and who we are as a city.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So we've talked about public art and partnership that you guys have had with the Richland Library System, but there are also some literary arts projects that you guys do, and one of those that I know the Richland Library is a big partner in is the Deckel Edge Literary Arts Festival. What's all that about?
Yeah, so Deckel Edge came out of when the Humanities Council of South Carolina transitioned out of running the main South Carolina Book Festival.
Mm-hmm.
There was an opportunity here in Columbia. We valued that as a large-scale literary
right.
event.
Mm-hmm.
It really brought together, I think, a lot of Columbians. We were fortunate enough that it was held here every year.
Right, right.
So we got the benefit of it. When they transitioned out of that, we felt like it was important that we try and find some sort of literary event to mm-hmm. fill that role.
Mm-hmm.
And in discussions with folks like Jonathan Haupt of the USC Press at the time, now mm-hmm. he's at the Pat Conroy Literary Center, Cindy Boyder of Jasper, a few other people came to me and said, we need to find a way to fill this role. And so mm-hmm. we were able to actually transition some of the funds that the city and the Richland County had been investing in the book festival to a new literary event that we call Deckel Edge. And we struck the name Deckel Edge to kind of, you know, add a little bit of edge to it.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, this was both about the book, but also about thinking about, you know, new elements of authors and bringing in more topic areas and things like that. And so we set it up, and I think that first year was really like reliant on Jonathan to mm-hmm. call in favors of all the authors he knew, and,
sure.
and we made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was actually no gap in mm-hmm. a literary event in Columbia, mm-hmm. which was mm-hmm. really great. We struggled to, you know, I think it took a few years to kind of define what it is. And I think it has a good definition about exploring the new South and
mm-hmm.
kind of thinking about new voices
mm-hmm.
and bringing in a lot of focus on minority issues or social justice platform, but also still rooted in authors and books
mm-hmm.
and poets as
mm-hmm.
well. And so it's still finding its way. It's still a young festival.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has been held the last couple years at the Richland Library, which has been a huge benefit to
right.
the festival because there's an audience there. There are great
mm-hmm.
spaces
mm-hmm.
there for
yep.
meetings. So it's a really great partnership to work with the library on that. And I think that, you know, for what it is and in a market where maybe there aren't enough literary opportunities in Columbia, it at least keeps that going,
mm-hmm.
keeps that discussion about literature and literary culture alive in Columbia right mm-hmm. now.
And for people who don't know, what does Deckel Edge actually mean? What is that?
So it's that nice little softer edge on a book that where the pages aren't all cut the same mm-hmm. length, and they cut it a little rough, and mm-hmm. it almost helps you turn that page mm-hmm. A lot easier, and it kind of gives it this sort of luxury feel to that book. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when we were brainstorming ideas for name, that sort of appealed because it was something that not everybody knew about,
right,
but also
exactly.
was a feature that like does speak of difference and mm-hmm. An extra thing on a book. And it's a little more expensive to put that on a book. But then again, back when, you know, early mm-hmm. books, mm-hmm. After the printing press, most of them would have had a deco edge because mm-hmm. they wouldn't have been able to cut so cleanly
right.
and everything. So it has that. It's been a part of books since the beginning, but now it feels like this luxury thing. And I think we were trying to appeal to kind of that sort of idea that this is different. This is
oh, yeah.
unique. And no, it had that. We kind of model that off of some of the other book festivals around the Southeast that have names and aren't mm-hmm. just like the area, the locality.
Right,
we didn't
right.
want it to be just about the
Columbia
locality.
Book Festival.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
We wanted it to be bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. And it is a phrase that, you know, people see it, and if they don't know what it is, they're kind of intrigued, you
yeah.
know, so it makes them take that next step and think, well, what does this mean? What's this about? And so it kind of pulls people in, which
yeah.
is, you know, what you want to do when you name something like that.
So One Columbia helped in the transition of Deckel Edge, and we were a part of kind of establishment of those first few years, but that was our role mm-hmm. as an organization. So we set it up, and it's now its own entity
mm-hmm.
With its own board and its own nonprofit status, and it really has a good many partners of its own that it connects with to pull that festival off.
Mm-hmm.
But our role in that, and we've had that role in a few other events and activities here in Columbia, is that transition,
mm-hmm.
that facilitation,
yeah.
and that's the responsibility of One Columbia through that.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely something that's important and needed. One of the other literary arts projects that you guys have created is the City Poet Laureate, and we've actually had Ed Madden on the podcast before, but tell us a little bit about how the City Poet Laureate project came about.
So I think in just some discussion, again, with Cindy Boyder of Jasper, she kind of brought this idea to One Columbia, said, hey, I think I've heard about other cities creating offices of poet laureate. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
And so we explored it, and I thought, I know my sort of calculation of it was, well, this would be one more person that could really speak to culture and kind of,
mm-hmm.
And it'd also give the opportunity for the city of Columbia, the government, to sort of show its support for arts and culture by
mm-hmm.
recognizing someone in that position. So we created a little bit of a process for how we'd go about identifying the right poet to
mm-hmm.
become the poet laureate, and we set up a little structure that we thought the city would agree to in terms of terms, and the mayor was very supportive. Mayor Benjamin was extremely supportive of this idea. He likes to recite poetry at the beginning of many of his speeches,
mm-hmm.
So we knew that it would be a great opportunity to create the position, and they would be able to do some readings as part
mm-hmm.
of city events. So every year, the State of the City, they would be able to recite a poem about the theme of whatever
mm-hmm.
maybe was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it also as another way of integrating public art,
mm-hmm.
that this city poet laureate position would be a public position, and there would be public readings, or there would be public activities that brought out literature and poetry as part of that. So it was
mm-hmm.
a way of almost doing a non-visual arts public art project.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we set up a committee of people that represented the university and the city and arts community folks here in Columbia to identify that person. And Ed's name came right to the top as
mm-hmm.
a good way. I think, you know, our thoughts were he would be fantastic at setting the tone for this.
Mm-hmm.
He was interested.
Mm-hmm.
He was excited. He's already engaged with the city and doing things. And he would be able to kind of set the position and really set it off
mm-hmm.
to what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so once he was selected, he took the position, and One Columbia was able to set aside part of our budget to serve as his budget for activities.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets a bit of an amount to work with to do
mm-hmm.
his activities each
mm-hmm.
year. And he works with other poets laureate in the state, which there are now,
mm-hmm.
Other city ones and the state poet laureate.
Mm-hmm.
So he keeps in close communication with all of them. Ed was the first for a city mm-hmm. in South Carolina. And then soon after, I think there was Edgefield created a position, and then Charleston has now created a position. Mm-hmm. I know Greenville is exploring the idea. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting that now there are these representatives of that genre and being able to be integrated in the city life. And poetry lends itself very well because you can work with young people on it mm-hmm. and you can create festivals and you can create small projects that are integrating it in. So it has been largely rooted in doing public projects. And I think Ed is in his fourth year right now, and he has the opportunity to renew. And so the committee will be discussing that soon if he renews. And he's really demonstrated the value of it, mm-hmm. I think, of mm-hmm. having that position very strongly. He told you, I think, about all the projects we've done.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the most memorable is the parking tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, so
that was great.
The parking tickets, you know, we made up artificial parking tickets. Mm-hmm. I actually worked really hard to model them off of
I got one, so good. I remember they looked exactly like
a parking. Did it give you a bit of a shock?
No, because I knew it was coming.
Okay, I knew it was coming. So, yeah, that was really memorable, really exciting to people. I think it defied some of people's expectations about mm-hmm. poetry mm-hmm. a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then for at least 3 years, we've done poems on the Comet. The Comet is the name of the bus system here in Columbia. And they've been a great partner in putting up small poems on mm-hmm. the inside of the buses for passengers to kind of look at and mm-hmm. contemplate and read mm-hmm. as they're riding. And we, in two of those years, this most recent year included, we've put together a chapbook of those poems so that the authors have a book to showcase that their poem was part of it, and the Comet can hand those out at events to showcase their partnership. Mm-hmm. And Ed has done a reading at every State of the City since he took the position. And we've done other projects. This past time, we put up banners for National Poetry Month in mm-hmm, April. Mm-hmm. We did some typewriter poetry in partnership with some poets out of Charleston on the State House grounds mm-hmm. And at Soda City Market. Ed did that, where he would write a poem essentially in consultation with somebody on the spot, mm-hmm. which was really interesting, and mm-hmm. people loved it. And mm-hmm. I got a really great poem from one of the guys in Charleston that was up here. And then we also did this project this year in trying to, we'll maybe never replicate the success of the parking ticket project, uh-huh. but just in its sheer excitement on social media that people were really fascinated that we would do that kind mm-hmm, of thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, it creates awareness and it brings attention to not only poetry, but, you know, it brings attention to Columbia, and we want tourism, and, you know, there's economic development yeah. involved. And
yeah.
so you think just this odd kind of project of parking ticket poetry, and then it's like a butterfly flapped its wings in China. You know, all these other things mm-hmm. happen.
It was great. It really did bring attention, I think, to the fact that most people didn't even know we had a poet laureate. But it got a poem in somebody's hand mm-hmm. That wouldn't maybe open a chat book mm-hmm. or read a poetry book. And it got them thinking about how poetry isn't necessarily this high art. It can also just be a regular everyday art too.
It
can be for everybody. We've tried to recreate that in this most recent project, where we actually bought the little boxes that people put in front of their house when they're selling their house, mm-hmm. about info boxes.
Yep.
And we painted poems, the word poems on the top of it, and we themed them around houses and home ownership and what a home means. And gave them out to people to put in their front yard, and they mm-hmm. put them on stakes in their front yard. And then we filled them with about 16 different poems just on regular mm-hmm. printer paper mm-hmm. That Ed collected from a lot of poets around the area. And people can just grab a free poem. It's almost like a little free library for poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea, you know, I think we had about 30 of those boxes throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
And people, sometimes I've seen people pull up in front of my own front yard and kind of look at it like it was a, you know, I'm
like
selling my house, and they kind of get
yeah.
it, and they look at it, and maybe they take it with them.
Uh-huh.
And we have one outside our office around Main Street. And I actually just ran into a guy yesterday who was grabbing one out as I was walking out of the office.
Oh, cool.
And he was from Ohio, and
uh-huh.
he was super excited. He took
oh,
pictures
neat.
Of it. He was asking me all kinds of questions. I mean, there again, it's just like this unexpected thing that really gets people thinking
right.
and gets people engaging with the art form,
mm-hmm.
and it brightens their day.
Mm-hmm.
It makes their visit to Columbia better.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always looking for ways we can incorporate more poetry and art and public art into people's daily life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a ton of things going on. What kinds of special projects will you be working on in the coming months?
So Amplify is our big one. Mm-hmm. We are doing a lot of research, and there's a lot of meetings involved and a lot of consultations and discussions. And we even have a set of 8 artist facilitators that are participating in the Amplify process. And mm-hmm. their job is essentially to do their art with communities of various types.
Wow.
That could be a neighborhood, or it could be a subset of a certain type of citizen in Columbia. So maybe it's with high school students, or it's with the homeless population.
Mm-hmm.
And actually this weekend we're doing one with seniors. So, you know, we're trying to focus on different sectors mm-hmm. of Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
They do some art form, but they're really there to kind of engage with people through art mm-hmm. and learn more about their experience with culture and what they maybe want to see in their city.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the activities with the seniors is that they will it's a trio. They'll sing a cappella music of different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
And in between songs, they'll really engage with the seniors about their experience of culture mm-hmm. and what it is that they valued as throughout their life in terms of culture
mm-hmm.
and how did they experience culture, and what were some key elements of their city life that they felt were important in terms of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll give us a lot of data, and it kind of breaks down a little bit of barrier that in a focus group meeting or a town hall you might not get.
Mm-hmm.
When they're really thinking about culture and they're experiencing culture at the same time, they might break that down and,
right.
and really reveal some deeper things about
sure.
their experience. So we'll have a lot of different projects around that, and we're documenting all that, and it'll give us a lot of data.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some big things. We I've got some new public art projects. I got another public art project with the Comet actually coming up soon. We have worked with artist Lori McIntosh, and she has created a whole painting, a set of paintings really, that they're turning into a wrap for one of the buses. So it's like a rolling mural
mm-hmm.
essentially that'll mm-hmm. go around different routes. And
wow.
And it has what she painted was her experience of Columbia through local landmarks. So it actually covers landmarks all the way into West Columbia and Lexington and a lot of key architectural elements, and even the cowboy on the top of Yesterday's
mm-hmm.
isn't going to be on the bus. So it's
mm-hmm.
this stylized representation of Columbia on this rolling bus, and that's really exciting. And you know, just other public art projects that we've got. I've got quite a few sort of in the mix. I think 21 is about the right number. It may
mm-hmm.
give or take at any given time if
right.
one project kind of falls through or gets pushed back a little bit, but that's about the right number with what I've got going on. And then we're always looking to sort of the next few things, like what can the city come together around and recognize, and like we did for the solar eclipse,
mm-hmm.
like what may be happening bigger picture that
right.
we can incorporate the arts into. So we're
mm-hmm.
always on the hunt for things mm-hmm. like that.
Wow. You certainly do stay busy.
Yeah, I do. I think it comes with the responsibility of One Columbia
yeah.
that, you know, you could just look at us as we're going to stay in our lane and we're just going to do art and we're going to
mm-hmm.
talk to people and
mm-hmm.
we're going to talk to the art museum about what they need and all
right.
that. But it's bigger. The bigger picture is that art is all around us and culture is all around us, and it's part of who we are as a city. And like, how can we lead that in identifying who we are as Columbians, and how can we reach all people? How can we create that sense of cultural equity that people feel engaged with
mm-hmm.
the culture of their community and their city? And, you know,
yeah.
We want that for everybody, and it means we're busy, but it's you know, that means there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of things to do that are really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, on behalf of Columbia, thank you for all you do, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Great. Well, thanks for having me. It was great to talk with you.
And thank you to our listeners. You can find Library Voices SC on Podbean, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio, or add us on your favorite podcast app. Our podcast website address is librarycast.podbean.com. We love hearing from our listeners, so send us your comments and suggestions for future topics. Library Voices SC is the official podcast of the South Carolina State Library. Until next time, this is Curtis Rogers. Thanks for listening.